Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight, or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. And greetings, Earth Explorers. We're coming to you live from eastern Kentucky at the foothills of the Smokies tonight. Nice, clear skies. The solar wind is only 388.8 kilometers per second. And a little flurry of activity they are calling Sunspot 1029 is hurrying across the face of the sun. When the sun sets on Monday, October 26th, go outside and look south. Jupiter and the moon are converging for a beautiful conjunction. The bright pair can be seen even through thinly clouded skies and city lights. Don't miss it. The lack of a solar wind for the last 2 years is allowing the galactic wind to penetrate the heliosphere. Those particles and frequencies are beginning to enter Earth's atmosphere and may be having their effect on human DNA. There were 21 earthquakes greater than 2.5 in the last 24 hours. Only 6 were greater than 5.0. Very quiet compared to 3 weeks ago. We caution all listeners that they should be making plans to move away from the coasts if you want to avoid the coming tsunami activity. Leading physics researchers have recently announced the discovery of the heaviest chemical element yet known to science. The new element has been tentatively named governmentium. Governmentium has one neutron, 12 assistant neutrons, 75 deputy neutrons, and 224 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 312. These 312 particles are held together by forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. Since governmentium has no electrons, it is inert. However, it can be detected as it impedes every reaction with which it comes into contact by requiring 10 orders of magnitude more energy than it could ever produce. A minute amount of governmentium causes one reaction to take over 4 days to complete when it would normally take less than 1 second. Governmentium has a normal half-life of 3 years. It does not decay, but instead undergoes a reorganization in which a portion of the assistant neutrons and deputy neutrons exchange places. In fact, governmentium's mass will actually increase over time, since each reorganization will cause some morons to become neutrons, forming isotopes. This characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to speculate that governmentium is formed whenever morons reach a certain quantity in concentration. This hypothetical quantity is referred to as critical morass. The Obama administration is sticking with their plans to abolish manned spaceflight by NASA. However, spending for space-based technologies are proceeding as planned. A new generation of electro-optical imaging satellites to be built by Lockheed Martin, pending congressional approval, will have an aperture size of 2.4 meters, a senior U.S. intelligence official stated. The GOI-1 commercial imaging satellite, for example, has a 1.1-meter aperture and can distinguish ground objects as small as half a meter across from an orbital altitude of 681 kilometers. According to an industry source, a satellite with a 2.4-meter aperture, approximately twice as large, orbiting at 600 kilometers, could distinguish ground objects about 15 centimeters across. That is 6 inches across for those of you who came through the public school system. That means that a 1.1-meter aperture could focus on something as small as 3 inches from 450 miles in space. In the meantime, Lotus Engineering completed its cognitive drive vehicle, capable of driving itself to a specific location while taking into consideration roads, traffic, and other obstacles without the aid of a remote driver. The mention of Cyberdyne Systems brought smiles to the group of engineers who accomplished the unprecedented design work for less than $100,000. If you are making your plans for the end of October and they don't include Halloween, you might want to consider the Burlington, Wisconsin Vortex Conference, starting October 30th and going through November 1st. There are still spaces available. Stanton Friedman, the authors of Roswell, Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, and Jerry Marcel is going to be there as well. So I will be there as well if you want to come up and meet us all and treat yourself to an outstanding weekend of UFO and off-world discussions. Please make your way up. Phone lines are open all night if you want to be part of the program. It's 888-228-4494, 888-228-4494. And if you've got free nights and weekends on that cell phone, don't miss the opportunity. Get close to a cell phone tower and reach us at 530-776-5154. My guest tonight is James Gilliland. My good friend Kevin Smith says that good worlds are hard to come by. And if you have been exploring space as long as I have, you will learn that this is very true. I don't know if you remember your last one or the one before that, we're here on this planet now, and for 25,000 light years in every direction, there's nothing like her, and there's nothing like you, and there's certainly nothing like my guest, James Gilliland. Welcome to the program, James.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we were having a discussion last night about the union of the polarity, and you had some ruminations way back in 1982 about the existence of a spirit Earth and the existence of a physical Earth, or maybe you didn't use those terms, but in any case, two different energy states of Earths coming together at the same time. At the time, you stated it was a little whacked out. You really didn't want to go there. But then as you started getting exposed more toward the scientific end, the physics end of things, you realized that you weren't that far off base. Tell us a little bit about those original thoughts you had.
Well, we were I was working with the Teachings of the Inner Christ. I was involved with that organization. And it's a blend of East and West, and one of the mainstays is Baba G, who comes through. And he was talking to me on an inner level about, you know, the two Earths and showing me visuals of the Earth actually separating into two Earths. And I kept asking how, you know, he kept talking about two Earths, And it almost made it seem like, well, where's this other Earth going to come from? Are you going to bring it in? And I just wasn't quite getting it at the time. And, you know, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it the more I kept seeing that, you know. And they were talking about, you know, 2012, way back then. And, you know, talking about a lot of the hardships that we've gone through already, which have been lessened quite a bit. But, you know, according to the original plan, you know, we probably should be a big mud ball by now. But we've overcome quite a bit, but we're not out of the woods yet. But, you know, he was talking a lot about shifts and changes that we'd be going through. And I know the organization I was with had a lot of trouble with talking about, you know, Earth changes. And I know I was involved very heavily in the Unity Church and a lot of these other ones. And, you know, they're all part of the New Thought Alliance. And actually astrology or using crystals or channeling wasn't acceptable. You know, they weren't acceptable programs with some of these churches. And so it was kind of interesting when I would try to talk to people about this. You know, it would just be kind of shut down or cut off or whatever. You know, there's certain things you can't do within these organizations. But, you know, we kept getting, you know, really clear messages on how this was happening. It was almost like there was going to be two parallel universes, like the Earth was going to move into two different timelines or two existences side by side, one right beside the other one. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how this could occur. And the more I got into quantum physics and, you know, the top people in quantum physics right now are down to, you know, they have the theories and the math and everything else to back up the fact that there is, whatever you want to call it, some intelligence that's running the show, and it's outside of our physical reality here. So, you know, when I was taught the vibrational continuum, that, you know, things go from consciousness to light to, you know, energy and then to mass, and that this is just condensed consciousness down here. And I know Amit Goswami, who was on What the Bleep, has done a lot of work on this, where he had to change his whole reality base. And, you know, he's a master physicist and shift gears. And, you know, he came to that conclusion, too, is that there is this cause, and it's a non-local cause, and it is in constant communication with all that is on all levels. And that my ideas about mass and physicality started, you know, really shifting to the point where the more I thought about it, the more I could see very clearly how this is totally possible.
Well, that's exactly what happened. You know, as Niels Bohr and Schrodinger and Einstein were considering at least the mathematical basis for the systems they were trying to put together to defend the country, you know, and still, you know, obtain all the grant money that they possibly could to keep their science alive, they kept coming across sort of gaps where the math just didn't quite make the jump. Even Einstein himself made just classical blunders by imposing his religiosity on top of the science, because the things that they were, you know, empirically discovering about the universe didn't seem to gel with the math. In other words, sometimes they'd get answers like infinity, or they'd get answers that were infinitesimally small, or sometimes they would get answers that were inconclusive. That is to say, there was a gap between this and what they actually observe in the universe. So as instrumentation got more and more sophisticated, and I'm going to use the instrument LIGO, which is the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, which is really not far from where you are up there in Washington State. It's up in Hanover. This is a very, very sophisticated, very large interferometer where they have it tuned, and the electronics so quiet now that they can actually sense very, very small vibrations in the universe. And when I was up there this last year talking to Dr. Fred Robb, who's the managing physicist up there, he said the most peculiar thing. And I thought, gee, have you been down to James Gilliland's ranch? Here's what he said. He said, what we observe in the universe is that there are protons and photons popping into our dimension from another dimension. I shook my head. I said, what did you say? He said, well, what we're observing is that matter is just spontaneously appearing in our dimension, and it appears to be coming from another dimension. Well, I found that, you know, so profound, so stunning, because I thought, are we talking about spontaneous creation, creation from nothing? And he said, no, not at all. We're not talking about creation of matter. We're talking about the entrance of matter into our dimension. And it appears that what's bringing it, or what's allowing it to materialize in our dimension, is, and you're going to love this, consciousness. How about that?
Well, it fits right in. You know, I've always felt that everything on this plane owes its existence to a higher dimension, or a higher consciousness, however you want to phase that.
Well, even Schrodinger, and you know, had this let's just call it a philosophy, that nothing could actually exist unless it was observed into existence. It's sort of like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Although a bit more profound than that. Einstein used to argue with this, saying, look, the moon doesn't exist because a mouse looked at it. But actually, that's true. If once matter is observed into existence, then it exists. It exists for you, it exists for me. Just because I observe this table here doesn't mean that it only exists for me and doesn't exist for you. It exists for you too. You can't walk through walls. Well, maybe you can, but I can't, and most people can't. So the idea that there is a higher vibrational set of matter and a lower vibrational set of matter has eluded scientists until just recently, when, I don't know if it's our generation that's getting into the leadership of science, or if it's just the empirical data that begins to testify to them that this is in fact the case. But for the average person, just the average Earth explorer out there, it becomes painfully obvious every time they look in the mirror. Because what they see is a physical them, and that's not the real them at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite interesting. I've always felt the body is just the hard copy, you know, of the other multidimensional selves, you might say. There's a vibration continuum, and we exist all along it as a multidimensional being, and down here all we're seeing is the hard copy. And if there were two shifts or worlds, if this body becomes less dense physical, it could very easily move into a parallel world or a different timeline and leave this one altogether.
Well, let's talk about time just for a little bit here. In this first hour, let's see if we can understand what time is. I've got this chronograph on my wrist, and it measures seconds very accurately, very precisely. But what is the fastest thing in the universe?
Thought, I would say.
That's correct. Thought is the fastest thing in the universe. Is it faster than light?
Oh, much faster. It's instantaneous.
Much faster than light. That's exactly right. Well, let's just start at the baseline then. Let's say that you were a photon and you'd been emitted by a star 25 light years out there in space. What does the universe look like to you, the photon, traveling at the speed of light?
Boy, I mean, you'd be seeing so much so fast, I guess, that it would be so vast, it would just be, it's kind of inconceivable from this level, you know.
Well, actually, according to Einstein, mass becomes infinity, or in other words, distance becomes zero. So that means that it's sort of like at the speed of light, the entire universe becomes local to you.
Yeah.
There is no distance between you and 25 25 light years away, because to you, it doesn't take 25 years to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no time. Everything is now.
Uh-huh.
So the human experience, slowing this down to whatever increments this watch is dividing years and days and hours and minutes and seconds up into, is only relative to this human condition, which means that us, we here together, this population of consciousnesses here on this planet, went through a lot of energy, a lot of design, a lot of purpose, a lot of manifestation to get here and slow the universe down to moments that we can experience so that the whole universe is not now. It's one moment at a time so that we can savor it like a good bowl of soup, I guess, or a movie.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, especially I was talking to somebody about, I think it was Michal Ledwith, I was talking about orbs, and he was saying that when you become an orb and you leave this body and you get into the higher levels of consciousness, you're actually a light sphere, an orb, and you have 360 degrees vision, and you see everything instantaneously. It's just amazing when you think of that, and basically we're just an orb with a little physical body to walk around in. And I have pictures of actually, you know, a big bright white orb coming right out of my chest, you know, which is the ability of our spirits to leave our body and check things out on the higher dimensions, you might say. But, you know, you think about that and just the perception that you would have would be so far beyond anything on Earth that, you know, yeah, you would be totally unlimited. You could blink in and out anywhere you wanted and be wherever you wanted. And totally unlimited.
You think
passion.
That would be boring to you?
I doubt it. I don't think so.
I guess it'll only not be boring if no one else could do it but you.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's like, you know, having gone out of body and traveling and doing all this other work I've been doing for so long, that to me it's like I just see this body more as you know, it's, you know, I chose to jump down here in a physical body to experience this physical plane of existence, and I love it down here. I think it's an awesome adventure. You know, it's a very challenging one, you know, but there's an old saying, gods don't do boring things, you know, but you know,
well,
so I think this is the greatest of all challenge, to come down and become part of this physical reality. But there's you know, some very strong challenges and drawbacks. You can get, you know, caught up with the cold and the pain and the suffering and things that go with the body and the false beliefs and separation that are prevalent on this plane. And you can get, you know, kind of kicked around down here and stuck. But ultimately, when that happens, you got to go back to your original self and realize, you know, you are an eternal being and you did choose to come down here and take this little vehicle for a test ride, and yeah, you might have banged it up here and there, but it's not really you. There's something far beyond the vehicle that you're in.
Well, that's a good observation. That's a good observation. Now, it's true, you know, we do go through a little bit of turbulence when we're down here, mm-hmm. but there are also the good things, like Mama Bear pancakes and like bubble baths and like, you know,
yeah.
flying and making love, and all of these things make life so wonderful. When I walk out of doors on your ranch and I look up at Mount Adams and I look at this blue sky and I hear the wind blowing through the pine trees, there is no better existence anywhere in the universe, anywhere. Water is flowing. It's not frozen. There's green things. It's not all on fire with some methane cloud blowing by. There's life, and there are birds, and there's fish, and It's wonderful. It's beautiful. There's nothing like this planet.
Oh, yeah. I do. That's what I feel like. I'm in a little paradise. And really, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing down here. We're supposed to be experiencing heaven on earth and not, you know, we're supposed to live in harmony with each other and nature and not forcing our program on nature and destroying nature. And I think that's why we have so many problems right now on the planet, is people have completely forgotten that. And now they're, you know, they've created these plastic environments, you might say, and concrete environments, and they're just not, you know, suitable for our consciousness, and it's actually dumbing us down, or, you know, especially with all the chemicals and everything else that we've created that are in the water and in the food and spraying in the air, you know, these, you know, we're just getting, we're just becoming like, you know, trapped in these little drone bodies right now, rather than realizing that we are immense spirits that have a body.
Well, hopefully man's behavior during the industrial age is just a condition of short-sightedness. Hopefully they realize, at least in our generation, the glory of this planet and the possibilities that exist, because you remember we were talking about the tree falling in the forest and no one there to hear it. What if a planet forms as a beautiful habitat for life, and yet life isn't there to experience it?
Yeah, it'd be a, you know, they say, you know, a planet's a terrible thing to waste.
Right. Know? Yeah, good planets are hard to come by. Well, here's the thing. The reality is, and there are 6.7 billion realities on this world right now, mm-hmm. is that we are here, and the Earth is physical, and it is two forms of matter existing in the same space at the same time, just like we are, just like we are. We're not the calcium and protein and water that makes up this bag of bones that aches around the planet. We are an animated, leaping, flying being on the inside of this body. And although we become very rational once we learn to speak and get through government schools and everything, we kind of forget who we are. We forget that we can fly unless we are deep in a dream state. We forget that we can meditate. We forget that we can be one and that we can have peace. But we could remember that. We could outgrow this. We could qualify ourselves to be a symbiotic organism with the Earth. And in our final hour, I really want to talk about this purpose, that I want to make an argument that there's something to be said for humans, human beings, human consciousness being on the Earth at this time. That we are not an infestation, we are not a random creation, we are not some kind of evolutionary chance existence, that there is more to it than the interaction of our bodies with the peas and carrots that this Earth can grow. There's also a consciousness interaction. So let's lay a little bit of groundwork here, because honestly, I've met a lot of people that have been around the world photographing orbs and talking about energies and channeling and blah, blah, blah. But there really is no place on Earth like at the foot of Mount Adams for orb activity and for an interface between different energies of beings being on this planet at the same time. So help the listeners of this program and those that are sitting at their computer stations on Monday morning with their headphones on listening to the archives, help them understand the gamut, the range of beings that are on this planet at this time, both seen and unseen by the blind.
Boy, that's a, you know, we could go through the kind of the vibrational continuum, but I'm trying to think how I could tie this all together. But basically, you know, we have our physical body. Everybody sees that and knows of that. And then we have our mental and emotional body, and most people are very aware we have that. You know, but we also have an astral body, and that body's a non-physical body that can travel around. And now, unfortunately, you know, it corresponds with the infrared range, you might say. And in that level, in that astral level, you've got all kinds of things going on. On the lower astral level, you have, you know, things that go bump in the night and, you know, some discarnate beings and some some pretty messed up, twisted individuals, you might say, that have forgotten who they are. And, you know, they've been very tormented by certain events, and they're a product of that. And some look very grotesque, you know, because that's their frequency or their energy. And you get into the mid-levels, and you have, you know, your everyday person that's just waiting to reincarnate, you know, and you know, just hanging out, waiting to jump back into a body again. And then on the upper levels, you have some wonderful teachers. And some of these teachers are great, you know, to talk to, but they're still bound by some kind of cultural belief system or religious belief system. They don't see the creator in all creation, including themselves. They're still carrying some kind of unworthiness or fear or guilt that creates a division there. So they haven't ascended. They haven't gotten off the wheel. And the beings that, you know, get off the wheel, just above that level is your etheric body, and your etheric body is the perfect incarnation. And people have different names for it. It's called the blue body or the etheric body. And, you know, it corresponds, you know, with a higher dimension. You know, it's like a fifth and sixth dimension. But when you get up into these higher dimensions, these beings are so loving, and they're so wise. They're very whole. They're very healthy. They've transcended, you know, fear and guilt and unworthiness and pain and suffering and lack and all of these things. They're beyond all of that. And, you know, and basically that's where we want to be. We want to drop, you know, all these inhibitors, you know, past life trauma, birth trauma from age one, get the wrong conclusions from past experience, the false teachings out of the way. And, you know, get all that out of the way, because that's distorting your perfect incarnation from coming in. But you know, talking about that, we are multidimensional beings, and we're existing all along this vibrational continuum, and we're not alone. And it's really hard for people to understand this, because it creates an identity crisis. And they have so much invested in this identity here. And they identify with their car and their house and their job and their position and all these other things. And all of a sudden they have to let go of this and realize that, wait a second, there's a higher aspect of myself. And the ego's going, I don't want to let control here. You know, if I open up this, I'm going to lose control. And so they get locked into this lower sense of self. But when you move up through this vibration continuum, you have whole civilizations of beings that are here to assist humanity in this shift that we're going through. And I can get into some of these beings, but it's important to realize that as you move up this vibration continuum, you are going to have an identity crisis. And you're going to meet different levels of yourself or aspects of yourself. And eventually you're going to go, who am I? And you're going to have this big meltdown. And then all of a sudden you're going to meet your God self, the highest level of yourself, which just stepped away from the source itself. It's one step away from source. And it's going to say it's all you. And that's when you merge with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse, which is really you. It's really who you are. You know, beyond this separate identity, this identity of separation. So, you know, I can.
Well, then, when there's no separation, that is to say, once you pierce through this, let's call it the veil of deceptive individuality, which you are the clothes that you wear, you are the car that you drive, you are the neighborhood that you live in, you are the color of your skin or your family name. Once you pierce through that and realize this oneness that you're talking about, what happens to the condition of the person? I mean, you say they have an identity crisis. Is it always bad, or do people, you know, feel
that's
a tremendous wave of joy?
Yeah, it's actually a good thing, because what happens is you stop identifying in the separation game, and, you know, it's a good thing to realize that. You know, a classic thing is, and this is a real ego buster, is that you know, everything here is vibrating at the same level that we're touching and feeling everything else, is that coffee cup you pick up in the morning is vibrating at the same level you are. So yeah, that's the only reason you can pick that coffee cup up. And, that's a real ego buster there, that you're not any more special than that coffee cup, you know.
Reassuring that I can pick the cup up.
Yeah. But, that coffee cup is God, too. It came from the source itself, as did everything. You know, it came from consciousness. But, we have this higher or lower, this separation game going that we just don't know how to break. But you are actually more than that coffee cup, and that coffee cup is also more than just the coffee cup as well, when you see beyond this. But that identity crisis is a really good thing. Because it means your ego is getting broken down, and you're letting go of the false identities and the separation game, and you're expanding into a greater awareness of the world that surrounds you, and that it's so far beyond and more unlimited than this physical existence, that it's really a good thing. And then eventually, when you have the big meltdown, when you start connecting with these extremely high beings and everything, you know, all the againstness and the separation and the division game and the power struggles and all that stuff just fall away. And you know, you just start living in harmony with each other and the planet, and you lose the fear and the unworthiness and the guilt and everything else. And then you really start living, you know, the way you're supposed to live.
Well, maybe at that point you figure it out. People used to say, well, my life is complete, I can die now. But we don't really see that in history. I mean, maybe it's just the winners that write history. But as much as you can research, go back through major civilizations, you see that history seems to be made up of civilizations of haves and civilizations of have-nots, or civilizations of, you know, made up of higher and lower castes of people, nobility and commoners, peasants and kings. And you see from time to time that the have-nots are compelled to rise up and revolt against the haves. We're kind of going through that now in our country. It seems as though all the wealth is accumulated in very few hands, and it's frustrating to the rest of society, even though society hasn't done what it takes to access most of that wealth. So we have billionaires and we have people that work for $5.50 an hour. The idea that we are locked into a wage or a lifespan or physical scarcity is really the falsehood of existence, is it not? I mean, the Earth right now has, close to 7 billion living conscious beings, even though most of them are not conscious that they're conscious. I would think that that's not a random condition. I would think that this Earth has been trying for a long, long time to get that number of souls in the same physical state as the temporal or physical part of this Earth, because there's a reason for it, and that's kind of what I'm getting to.
Okay.
Indigenous peoples have always talked about spirits or visitors coming to the Earth. Modern people that drive cars and go to work and wear a suit and tie and everything, they don't believe any of that stuff, except what their preachers tell them. But which is the reality, James? Is it that we are a symbiotic group of beings that have come from all over the universe to here at this time, and there are whole levels of beings, orbs and plasmoids and all kinds of things that are here at the same time, all interacting with this planet? Why do you think that is happening?
Well, my understanding of that is that, you know, one, there's basically, it's kind of the unconscious and the conscious. And there's a major movement to keep people unconscious. So, and this manufactured lack in this system we have right now is you know, that we're all playing, not all of us are playing in, but most people are, is a very unconscious program. And it is designed to keep you unconscious and keep you, you know, in lack and you know, kind of keep the masses down and dumbed down. And it's a very sad situation, but it is going to collapse in on itself. It can't sustain itself.
Well, and is it going to collapse in chaos, or is it going to collapse in ascension?
Yeah, I think that depends on the individual. I think some people are going to ride it down, you know, ride the downward spiral all the way till total collapse. And I think other people are going to ride the upward spiral into ascension. And it depends on, you know, each individual. The good news is that we're getting a huge boost right now in consciousness and energy and these higher planes and dimensions and beings on them, which are the, you know, a lot of them are the spiritually and technologically advanced off-world visitors, are returning now to assist, you know, in this huge birthing process that's underway right now. And what they're doing is that they are, you know, feeding the grid, the consciousness grid here on the earth. They're tearing down the old grid, which is based on, you know, fear and lack and unworthiness and guilt and all the things that are used to manipulate people. You know, that's being torn down, and the, you know, all the disempowering programs are falling apart right now. And it's ushering in a new program that, you know, a program of equality, of prosperity, of, you know, everybody is unique expressions of God. And, you know, we need to behave accordingly. And it's just breaking down all of these old binding, even religions and schisms and even scientism, everything. All the old programs are breaking down right now. And a whole new program is being ushered in, and they're assisting with that. And the way I see it is that we can be a part of that program and go with the flow and take this upward spiral, you know, into the ascension process and live in harmony with each other, you know, and the environment and the planet, which is where the new earth is going. Or we can take this downward spiral, which is going to culminate in, you know, the continuation of this total greed, pain, suffering, destruction of the environment, everything else. And that's where the old earth is going. You know, it's going to go through its total turmoil and cleansing and healing, you know, the heavy duty process. So, you know, those people will continue in their action reaction program and drawing or magnetizing to them events and people that they need to finish, you know, continue in their evolutionary process. But the upward spiral, which I strongly suggest getting aligned with, is the one that's going to continue. And, you know, this is in the Hopi prophecies too. They talk about two worlds, and, you know, the world of misuse of technology and greed and domination and you know, separation againstness. That whole world is collapsing. They show it, you know, moving down to a downward spiral, and all of a sudden it just disappears. It's not here anymore. And they see another world that's actually taking the upward spiral, you know, and everybody's in harmony and you know, living close to the earth and growing their own food and just having a good old time. And that's, and, you know, connecting with spirit and actually opening up to the greater family of man, which is assisting us now.
Well, I would think that a planet of, you know, full of agrarian people that grow their own food and filter their own water and make their own clothes is not going to be a very dense population, because you're not dividing up the tasks into those that people love to do, giving people free time to do things like create music and build furniture and, you know, craft metal and things like that. That being said, our society has become one of specialists. And unfortunately, those various specialties have been assigned certain economic values, just like the old caste system and the kings and serfs. And I think maybe that's where we're missing the boat, because the person that loves to cook for people is just as valuable in a society as those who love to calculate numbers and and keep track of labor and also just as valuable of those as those who like to craft metal and make airplanes and cars and boats.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we've missed it, James, is we've made this whole thing sort of an economic morass in the sense that, you know, there are wealthy and there are poor, and there really shouldn't be. We should all be doing what we love doing, what we came here to do on this earth. And in doing that, we should enjoy whatever level of life we want to.
You know, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think you should follow, and every person is unique, and they have their own unique purpose for being here. Now, in the Pleiades system, there's civilization there. There's fifth-dimensional beings there, a whole civilization of them, you know, fifth and sixth-dimensional, basically. And they, what they do, it's quite interesting, is that, believe it or not, the gardener is held in the highest esteem there. You know, the guy that, and the farmer, the guy that grows the food, you know, is you know, one of the highest levels. And
well, I would think teachers would be right up there too. And
exactly. You know, and so
some people might say, well, you're talking about redistribution of wealth, you know, taking from the wealthy and giving from to the poor. You know, actually, what I'm saying is no. What I'm saying is the whole concept of wealth is corrupted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. You know, I think the thing about it is that people, that a lot of people that have gathered the wealth due to fear, and it's fear of lack or fear of starvation or fear. Some program is running them to hoard the wealth, and there is no reason to hoard, and there's no reason why everybody can't be wealthy at the same time. And that's the problem here. You know, a good example I use is an ear of corn. If you take one kernel of corn and throw it in the ground, it grows 500 kernels each ear, and some have two ears on them. And that's nature's exponential abundance. That's the way we can live. And there's no reason why everybody couldn't enjoy, you know, a nice simple house, you know, good food every night. It's abundant. That would be so easy to do. But our priorities and values are so skewed and so backwards, you know, and we're paying people, you know, massive amounts of money to just make artificial money, you know, and things like that, and war industry, and all this money is just going to all these directions that are just going into the hands of the few and actually having a very adverse effect on the many, you might say. And that once that system is no longer in place, the abundance that can come forward on this planet is just phenomenal. I mean, that's what it is. And also, too, as we ascend in consciousness and move up to the higher levels, the ability to manifest happens much faster. And when we get into the higher physics, where consciousness does create reality, we can create, you know, a different world. We can create abundance. You know, because that is natural. That's a natural way of living. So I think the main problem right now on this planet is we do have a definite manufactured lack. You know, the educational process is designed to keep you in competition and keep you, you know, as a good indentured servant. You know, it doesn't empower you to get in touch with who you really are. And you know, going back to the Pleiades system, is that what they do is they take their kids, and they are attuned enough and developed enough as they can sense the soul purpose of that kid. And they know what that kid's unique purpose is. And they give them everything they need to excel in that area or that expertise. But they also teach them, you know, a wide variety of other knowledge and wisdom at the same time. And then they take them up on the ships, and at a certain age, they take them up the ships, they power up their ships into a light principle, all of a sudden they're at one with everything, they're a light being, and they bring them back. And that experience actually puts them in that oneness, you know, unity consciousness, you might say, instead of the separation consciousness. And
sure,
so
that puts everything in perspective for them. And then... you know, the race to fill up one's garage with the most toys become so interesting anymore.
Yeah, and they excel to their greatest potential and then give back to the whole because they know they're one with the whole and they're in pure service mode. So I mean, that would create a quantum leap in consciousness, a quantum leap in evolution if we were to, you know, at least move in that direction. You know, there's no reason why we can't sit down and ask kids, you know, what do you do? Look at what they're good at. Look where their interests lie, you know, and give them all they need to excel in that direction. I mean, that's very easy. We could do that right now. We don't have the ships, but I'm sure we could borrow a few if we were going in that direction, you know, to take them up.
Boy, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, into that higher, you know, dimension, you might say, and you know, that wouldn't be a problem. Some of us have done that in our own ships through our near-death experiences and things like that. We've already had that experience, and you know, it's hard for us to even comprehend this program that's going right now and why people continue in it. But you know, the possibilities are endless there, but it goes back to, you know, this old program that, you know, has to collapse. It has to go away because it's an extreme, extreme disservice to the people. It's an extreme disservice to the soul. It's binding. It's just so disempowering that it needs to go, and it can't sustain itself. It really can't continue under the pressures that are on it right now without going through a complete transformation or a collapse in a new system coming in.
Well, I think everyone can sense that we're reaching a critical level of energy on this world. Mm-hmm. Whether what we see in the news is actually real or not, whether what we hear from our national leaders is real or not, the feeling that we have as we go to work each day, as we watch TV, as we spend time with our kids, as we walk in the woods, as we worry about, you know, how we're going to make our next meal or whether we're going to be able to keep our employees working and paid or not, those feelings are very real, that we are reaching mm-hmm. a point of where extreme energies are pulling against each other on this planet. For instance, we have groups of individuals on this world who are concentrating on using violence to spread their ideas or to suppress other ideas. And there are those on this planet that are using economics to do the same thing. We hear about this very same thing from our own national leadership, using economics to suppress one group or to promote another group. And then there is a vast population that's trying to do something amazing for the planet. We're trying to bring new forms of energy. We're trying to bring new ways of using energy. Instead of burning gasoline for transportation, build electric cars or use the wind or use the sunlight or use hydrogen, things that are more in harmony with the planet to allow it to stay clean and allow it to perhaps go through this cycle that it's going through without our activities pushing it over the brink and making the whole planet, you know, extinct. We are very populous on this planet right now, and our consciousness has a big effect on this world. And as we begin the next hour, we're going to take a break now, and I want to remind you, if you want to be part of the program and weigh in, it's toll-free, 888-228-4494, 888-228-4494, or 530-776-5154. We'll go ahead and take a quick musical break here for about 3 minutes, let you go to the fridge, and we'll be back and we'll ratchet this up to the next dimension. It's really going to take off. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more X Squared Radio.
The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. My guest tonight is James Gilliland. If you want to be part of the program tonight, if you've had an amazing experience that you don't know how to explain, I know we're kind of getting to the paranormal time of the year, and I don't mean ghost stories. I mean those times when perhaps an alternate past made itself known to you. If not a past life, maybe a past history that you didn't think was there for this life. You can call in toll-free 888-228-4494 or 530-776-5154. During the break, we were talking about the realization, the empirical realization that gateways are beginning to open, little windows, little doors of the potential of all potentialities, making themselves known to people who, for all intents and purposes, have gone through their adult life asleep. And they're beginning to see little flashes of light, little flashes of possibilities, of futures, of maybe pasts, and maybe parallel pasts, beginning to make themselves known to them. Now, let me get just a little bit more specific with this so you understand where we're going to go in this hour. As we became rational beings, coming through the public school system or private school system, or some of you may have even been homeschooled, as the textbooks laid out, you know, how the founding fathers established our nation and how different scientific discoveries were made and how force and torque and thermal transfers work, and you became very secure in the way things are, in the way nature is, in the way science is, and you begin to stand on it like a foundation and reach forward into the unknown of your life, whether you're raising your kids or teaching a classroom or creating your project that you're working on for the company for which you work, or if you are a business owner creating your own future and your own dreams and perhaps responsible for the well-being of others. All of a sudden, and I mean very recently, like in the last 5 years or less, those foundations are beginning to shift. Those blocks of stone, immovable, irreversible, irrefutable facts and theorems and postulates upon which you have relied your whole life are beginning to twist. They're beginning to shift. They're beginning to maybe not be so steady, not be so reliable. You're saying, wait a minute, this isn't the way things work. Why are they working this way now? Why are the things that I have invested in, the things that I've believed in, the things that I've built, the things that were taught to me, why are they not so anymore? And that's because the potential of all potentialities, the cone of everything that's possible in your life, based upon the past that you have experienced and that you have designed for yourself, is making itself known. It's sort of like resonance in the universe. You start ringing your bell of your individual purpose in life, or whatever you think it is. And those sounds are going out in the universe, and they're resonating off all kinds of surfaces and strings and membranes and various dimensions. And those things are beginning to sympathetically resonate with that sound, and that sound is coming back around. And it's building in force and in energy, and that is beginning to shake the foundations of what you once thought was reliable as stone, good as gold, hard as diamonds, reliable as the dollar bill, the mighty greenback. All of those things are beginning to slip away, as the true reality, the real energy of the universe, makes itself known to you. You only think that you know the way to build the universe. The universe has its own designs, and it's going. That's what we're going to discuss in this hour with our guest, James Gilliland. James, welcome back to the program.
Yep, we're back.
Okay, so we are living awash in all kinds of energies now. And in our first hour, we talked about the range, the gamut of energies, which are not unintelligent energies. These are intelligent energies, some of them in bodies and some of them not in bodies. For this hour, let's talk about, and we're going to bring this full circle all the way around to the union of the polarities of planets and beings and everything in our third hour. So don't go away. Don't miss that last hour. For this hour, let's talk about the intelligent energies that are not in physical form in our dimension, but do affect our prosperity in this life.
Mm-hmm. Boy, there's so many different ones that are at play here. I know that there's a lot of people that are really having a battle over the are there good entities, are there bad entities, are there good ETs, are there bad ETs, you know, all of that going on right now, and it's a real hoopla right now, and I've seen over and over again, and you know, my thing to that is as above, so below, And when you do get into, you know, some, there are unseen influences out there that are impacting us in a negative way. And there are people that are aligning themselves with those energies, you might say. And it's kind of like when you tell a lie, then you have to tell another lie, and then you have to tell another lie. And then you do an act over here, which you know in your heart was wrong, and that leads to another act. And you're getting rewarded, you know, financially by doing this. And then pretty soon it gets out of hand. But each time you do that, you lose connection to your soul, which is the connector to the source itself. And so pretty soon you get to the point where you don't want to even acknowledge that you have a soul or that there is a higher power or a higher force because of all the things you've done that were contrary to that. And then you start developing a fear of retribution, which in the long run develops into total paranoia of that happening. And that's where a lot of our leadership is today.
My gosh. You just hit the nail on the head, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you're saying that there are bad influences. There are, shall we say, dark influences out there.
Mm-hmm. And that's what opens you to these.
What's that?
that's what opens you up to these influences that, you know, the further you get away from your real power, which is your soul, and your soul is connected to the source, the easier it is for these other entities to come in and start messing with you. And they are entities of like mind, and some are physics. Some people are just like you would have a person that may be a bad influence on you in this life. There's other beings out there that are non-physical that can have the same influence on you. So it goes back down to choices that we've made, you know, decisions we've made and actions that we've made that open the door to, you know, these lower forces to come in.
Well, isn't it? I mean, there are people that say, evil cannot bother me because I'm a righteous person. I go to church and I pray and I sing songs and all of that. But you're exactly right. It is our actions, or it's our thoughts that precede the actions, that allow these dark energies to build in resonance and build in power. If we don't resonate with them, and if we don't send out those dark energies that resonate with these energies, in other words, we don't ring the bell that makes the darkness come to life, then it can't get any power over us. It can't develop any momentum.
Exactly. And when we remove the hooks, you know, when we forgive ourselves and remove the hooks that they play on or those things they resonate with, you know, by going in and clearing, you know, any wounds and traumas in this life and past lives as well, and get back on the program of you know, being kind to each other and working in harmony, you know, in the highest and best good of humanity, the earth, and move steadfast on that path with impeccable integrity, all this other stuff falls away. Our karma falls away. You know, everything starts falling away. And, you know, we are the keeper of our books. And, you know, it's all those choices and deeds that we've made and the deceptions and lies that are the foundation of that karma. And, you know, God isn't keeping the books. We are keeping our own books. It's just that force that says, as you wish, you know. And so it's that energy, we're refining that energy, you know, coagulating that energy into our world. And in doing so, you know, we're creating realities and we're creating reactions to our actions. And I think Buddha summed it up very well when he said, a fool in his mischief is like fresh milk. It takes a little while to spoil, but, you know, it's going to. And as surely as the cart follows a horse that, you know, pulls it, it will catch up. But, and that's where
we're
at. Well,
let's talk about the bright energies and those energies of abundance and those energies of sharing and those energies of mercy and empathy. How do we make those resonate without going to a priest or a shaman?
Well, basically, that is your true nature. And so it's a matter of clearing away all these little in your bands of energy surrounding your body. It's a matter of clearing away all these little dark spots and, you know, all these little inconsistencies and wrong conclusions from past experiences, And then your true nature comes forward. And we do a lot of work with that here in, you know, the transpersonal release processes and things like that. But, you know, each individual can do that. And we all have access to the source itself within us. And on the way to that source itself, there's other beings that are waiting to assist us on whatever level we need that assistance. So it's just a matter of getting past, you know, all the old fear and the dogma and the programs and, you know, opening up to that assistance and realizing that, you know, it may not come in white robes and long brown hair wearing sandals. You know, it may come a little differently. You know, so whatever you need, the universe is going to provide. You know, just stay out of fear and judgment and anger. And also there are tools and techniques to discern the nature of these connections and also to heal any unseen negative influences. So we need to learn self-authority and you know, self-mastery techniques, you know, as long as we're here on the planet.
Well, that, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit on the on this hour. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, this is Mark from Ohio.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Welcome, Mark.
Hello. How are you guys tonight? I have a few questions here that are kind of all over the map. If I can throw those in now, if you guys are ready.
Sure.
Well, you join the crowd. We've covered the map, and now we're flying above it. So.
Okay. James was talking about vibration, and I kind of want to wrap my mind around that a little bit. Because I know quantum mechanics sometimes describes a particle in terms of a wave. Is that kind of where you're coming from, James, when you talk about the vibrational continuum?
Well, we're actually moving back and forth between a particle and a wave, and supposedly 14 times a second. So when you slow yourself down, your energy is down, you actually become a wave. I've actually had photographs of my whole physical body turn into like a wave of golden energy and phasing out. But I think what I'm more talking about is the best way to talk about the vibration continuum is the electromagnetic, the light spectrum. And each one of those levels, you know, within that spectrum has consciousness on it. And it's actually a whole different dimension, you might say. And I may not be using the exact right terms for scientific measures, but if when you go in, like to say the astral level, what we were taught is the astral level is actually the infrared band. So I would look, it depends on which way you want to explain this, because I've been taught about 10 different ways, and so it's kind of hard to... I just have to get a touch on which way people need to hear it. And Brooks can probably help me out on that one as far as the, you know, like the electromagnetic light spectrum.
Well, yeah, when you're talking about spectrum, in the physics world, we use instruments to detect those spectra. Sometimes we use what's called a diffraction grating, where we use constructive and destructive interference to figure out what an unknown element is, for instance, what the distance is between the oxygen and nitrogen atoms in a molecule, because every single molecule has different lengths between bonds, depending on whether they're single bonds or double bonds or even triple bonds, or how many atoms there are in that molecule. It all determines the length of, shall we call it, the guitar string between those two atoms. And so when we get that specific frequency, we know that, for instance, that's a hydrogen-oxygen bond on water. Or we know that is a carbon-nitrogen bond of cyanide based on that exact frequency. And to tell you the truth, the science of spectroscopy has become amazingly precise. And with that precision, we're able to interpret our universe on a quantum level. As far as the human consciousness assuming a vibration, there is an assumption that as we become very loving and very accepting and very peaceful, our vibration increases in frequency. We become, in other words, higher vibrational beings. And as we become dark and fearful and caught in scarcity and jealousy and things like that, we become very dark and foreboding, and our frequencies lower. And the interesting thing is that we actually become unaware of each other because we don't see each other. We're not resonating with each other. For instance, you could have two people in jail, let's say, in prison, and one can say, man, this is the best of all possible worlds. I get 3 square meals a day. I don't get rained on. I don't get too cold. I don't get too hot. I don't have to work for a living. And the other guy could say, this is the worst time of my life because I'm not free and I can't walk through the grass and I can't walk on the beach and I can't enjoy a smile of a female. You see, they're both in the same condition, but one's vibration is much higher than the other's. So does that kind of answer your question, Mark?
Well, that was very interesting what James was saying about slowing himself down and literally almost becoming a wave, and that he could, or he had photographed his spirit leaving his body. Is that correct, James?
Yeah. In my presentations, I show that where they've taken pictures of one body actually leaving the other body. And we're having a thing here. It's really interesting. People are phasing in and out on a regular basis. And I have quite a few photographs of different people where that's happening with them. And also I have photographs of other beings. I know there's a lot of lamas do that on a regular basis where they start phasing out. You can see right through them and see the tonkas behind them. But it's a phenomenon that's happening more and more now. And what we're seeing is that we're actually getting photographs of the multiple bodies on people with regular digital cameras, and we're also getting photographs of being able to see right through people. People actually phasing out, and you can see, you know, right through them, or they're partially here. And there's photographs where I've just completely disappeared several times, and the people are taking photographs. I mean, I just wasn't there.
Unbelievable. So, Dr. Agnew, I know they talk about this Heisenberg uncertainty principle that talks about the inability of us to measure the specific location of atoms and molecules. Is it that we're not really solid, per se?
Well, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle says, yes, you can locate an atom, but you can't determine its speed and location at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. When Thomas Young designed his double slit experiment, and now we've taken that to much more sophisticated levels than that, it can't be a particle and a wave at the same time. Once you determine the spin of a particle, it becomes a particle. Once you try to examine the wave, it collapses into particle form. Once you leave it alone, it goes right back to wave form, and you get the interference patterns. So Heisenberg was sort of making a general statement that you can't tell the speed and location of a particle at the same time. The implication of that on the physical condition is exactly what you just said. There's so much space in between all of the atoms that make up the molecules that make up our physical body, that in reality, at least from the perspective of, say, a neutrino, we aren't even here. Our physical bodies don't even exist. It's only because the temporal matter of the Earth is vibrating just as slowly as we are, is this table solid or this wall unable to pass through. But in reality, our spirit, our wave body, could go right through this wall and never even slow down.
So with what James is describing, some way his thoughts or state of mind is affecting this relationship between the waves and the particles in his body?
Interesting question.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there's some Tibetan meditation techniques where you actually start spinning the energy, and you spin your bands, the bands of energy around your body. And when you do that, you start spinning the energy. In the last class I taught, was an ambassador training class, and it wasn't just talking about who's who out there. It was actually where you engage them and work with them. And we had people actually disappearing in the class, and, you know, photographs of them sitting in their chair, another photograph where you can see right through them, and then they're gone. You know, so it's quite interesting that it's a phenomenon that's happening here on a regular basis. It seems to be happening quite often now, whereas before that wasn't happening. And my theory on that is that the whole frequency of the Earth is rising. The veils between worlds are becoming thinner, and it's getting easier and easier to bilocate or jump from one reality to another, and our bodies are becoming, you know, less dense physical. So it just makes it easier for this phenomenon to happen, and I think eventually we won't be limited to this reality at all. We'll be able to move into different realities.
The last thing I wanted to bring up, and I'll listen to your guys' comment off the air, is Dolores Cannon recently was talking about these new children that are coming into the world with altered DNA so that they can function in a different reality. And she stated that there is, she kind of reiterated this concept of a new Earth, that the Earth is actually going through some kind of shift or some change. And I remember Dr. Agnew talking about that as far back as a year ago, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this whole concept. But I'll get off the air, and thanks for letting me on, and have a good evening.
All right, very good. Thank you for the question, Mark. Yeah, that evolutionary change of the planet we'll discuss in our final hour. We have another caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is another Mark. I'm calling from Kentucky, Lexington.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hey, I'm sorry. They told me that there was a person in front of me, so I wasn't sure if I was up or not. Yeah, I'm just going to be up the road from where you're going to have your factory or your cars, your electric cars.
All right, right. Yeah, we're here in Williamsburg, Kentucky right now, getting ready to open up the electric car plant.
Yeah, how much are those going to run? How much will I be able to buy one for it?
Oh, well, the pickup trucks will be around $25,000, $26,000, depending on the options. And the car, which is about a year further down the road, is about
$19,900. Pretty affordable. Sounds great.
That's our goal, make an affordable plug-in electric vehicle.
Yeah, I'll be sure to check it out. I guess I've got a question for James. When I meditate, I haven't been very far in my path here spiritually because I was raised in a Christian background, a Pentecostal church here in Kentucky. So broke away from things and really started thinking about things when 9/11 came along. But when I meditate, James, I at times feel like I'm going to pass out or just kind of get dizzy and lightheaded. And I was just wondering what you could tell me about that.
Yeah, that is kind of a phenomenon that comes with it sometimes. But what I kind of tell people is before you even meditate, to learn how to heal any unseen negative influences. And there's a reason for that, because as you expand in consciousness, you take on a greater awareness, a greater territory, you might say. And it's very good to clear your space before you do that. And you'll see your meditations will go further and further, you know, further out in your meditations. And there are some people that they start going out because, you know, they actually are going out. They're going off somewhere. They're traveling. They're being taught, you know, on other levels, but they're just not aware of what's happening to them, because when you come back to this level, it's very hard to bring all the wisdom you've gained from what you experienced on those other levels back into the physical. There's like a veil that it has to come through. But the more you meditate, the more that veil becomes thinner and thinner, and you start to remember some of those experiences, and that bleeds through into this level. But it is still in your subconscious, and everything you experienced is there. It's just you're not consciously aware of it. But, you know, I would suggest, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but it's in the book Reunion with Source. It has all the techniques you need for, you know, having incredible meditations, and also to keeping your energies clear of any unseen negative influences, so you have a safe space to open up and in. Because you only open to the level that you feel safe or you feel good. And the more you clear your space, the more you'll open up in these meditations.
Well, James, isn't there just a natural disconnection between the physical body and the spiritual body? And it's actually or might be even the practice of the breathing techniques that keeps the body in check so mm-hmm. that you don't, you know, completely disappear and pass out. Because
yeah.
that's kind of like falling asleep. But if you can keep mm-hmm. the body disciplined to keep that breathing technique going, you can keep the conscious and subconscious connected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that goes into a higher level, but we do teach those. You know, they've got the Buddha breath and the different types of breath. You know, one actually breathes the energy down through the crown, through the top of the head, and it's a cooling energy, you know, that brings the energy down, and it's very easy to connect that way. Or you can do the fire breath, which brings the energy from the bottom up. But the only thing about the fire breath is if your energy comes up or your kundalini comes up too fast and you've got blocks and patterns, you know, in your other chakra systems, you might say, you know, a lot of people can experience energy sickness or be, you know, really thrown off for a while. It'll really throw you out of kilter, you might say. So we kind of, you know, work from the top down and clear all those other ones out before bringing the bottom up.
So you recommend practice and even practice with instruction to get to
exactly.
Get a better
handle. I mean, we teach those classes here. It's the Kunlun classes. It's a 2,000-year-old technique that was just released recently, and it teaches very simple postures and forms along with breathing that just people are having amazing breakthroughs and spontaneous healings. All these amazing things are happening, you know, around this practice.
Yeah, I listened to you guys last night on your show, James, and I just really appreciate you guys. You know, so like that without the internet, I would really be isolated. I mean, yeah. You know, in my community and in my family, I feel like I'm really isolated with my spirituality quest.
Yeah.
And don't really feel like I have anywhere to turn to other than listening to you guys, you know, and the internet as a spiritual tool.
Well, you know that you do have somebody. You have a whole universe to tune to, you know, to turn to within. But you'll find, you know, a lot of times, you know, I was raised. I had to go to a Catholic school when I was a kid. It was the only school in the high desert where I was raised. You know, and I had my ear yanked and was pulled across the playground and went through all those images, you know, of wrathful gods and punishing gods and God you'll never ever measure up to. And unfortunately, a lot of people are still running that program. But after I drowned and died and crossed over and came back, I realized that all those images and those teachings were really false teachings, because the source itself doesn't even have an ego to judge. It can't judge. And it's like the sun, and it just shines on everybody evenly, and we choose how much of that consciousness and energy or love and joy and bliss we want to accept into our lives. And, you know, teaching people fear, guilt, and unworthiness are actually inhibitors to being able to, you know, accept that energy or connect with the source or God or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, just give yourself some kudos. You know, you are on the right path and, you know, Jesus still loves you, and a lot of other masters are there to love you as well. And it's a big universe, and there's a very big creator behind all of it, and it's much far beyond any of the doctrines or images of man.
Oh, that really helps a lot, James. I appreciate that. I mean, I don't know how many years I've sent through church services and just leave and just having the condemnation, you know, for heap on me for days and days and weeks, you know. So I really appreciate
you
that.
You know, I had a woman that came to me once, and when I was working, doing a lot of counseling, and I was clearing this, and she had a severe back injury, and it was just amazing. And actually, her main teacher and guide who came in for her was Jesus. And she opened up, and she started just letting go of all the guilt and the fear, and, you know, I should have done this and all that stuff, you know, about leaving the church and everything. And, you know, at the end, you know, it came to me very clearly, and you know, he was giving me a message for her, and he was telling her that, who do you think was behind getting you out of there? He said, who do you think was the inspiration behind getting you out of that system and out of that program and back into your heart? And she just started crying and crying and made that connection, and she totally reconnected with the real Jesus, you know, the real image of Jesus. And right after that, she had a complete spontaneous healing in her back, and she could hardly walk when she walked in, and she walked out perfectly. She, you know, she couldn't even believe what happened. So I always think about that. You know, a lot of times it just might be Jesus that is telling you, hey, get out in nature, you know, get back in your heart, start being kind to your fellow man, and don't accept all the fear and the guilt and the other trips, you know. Like,
I've seen almost that same realization among people when they realize once and for all that Jesus didn't come here to establish a church. He came here to show you what your capabilities were.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I've got one other question for you guys. Without having to travel very far, do y'all know of anyone locally here in the Kentucky area that, you know, that I might could get a clearing or a reading or some help with my meditation? I mean, there's lots of places to go on the internet, but there's nothing like, you know, meeting live with someone.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to fix that while we're here in Kentucky. I honestly don't know of anybody right here that you can do that with. I just arrived in eastern Kentucky myself from Idaho.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we do long distance clearing here, which work just as well. You know, you can contact us through, you know, the website at eseti.org, and you know, we can follow through that and answer a lot of your questions long distance. As far as a meditation group, I'm sure they're out there, and you know, I'm sure there's some groups out there, but just be sure whichever group you align with is assisting you to make your own personal God connection, and not, you know, asking you to worship, you know, outside of yourself, that they're really bringing,
right,
you know, God home to you, to mm-hmm. you know, to the core of your being, and
right,
and you know, not diminishing
your
own personal God connection.
You're looking for tools, not a guru.
There's
exactly.
There's no chance of that. Did you call it Kunalun?
Kunlun.
Yeah, those classes, is there any chance of those classes coming anywhere close to the Kentucky area?
There may be, actually. I'm not sure, because there's a couple teachers that if you email us, I'll be sure that they get, you know, a hold of you, because we do have, there's a lot of teachers that have gone through the teacher's training and that are out there right now, and I'm just not sure who's in your area or what classes are in your area. And we have people here that are traveling that are doing classes. I know some are going to Vermont, and they're going to some other places, it looks like. They'll be moving around. You'll just have to email me, and then I'll try to find out for you.
Okay. I think it was in Burlington, wasn't it? Vermont.
Oh, you know, Burlington, right.
Yeah.
I
believe it.
All right.
Well, thanks. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate the call, Mark. We have another caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please. Do we have a caller on the line? Nope. Okay. Well, we'll continue on. We have about 20 minutes left in this hour. What I want to do is try to lay the foundations for this next level. In this hour, we're talking about the non-physical, or shall I say non-particle, energies that are local to us, that are both affected by our consciousness, our intention, our thought patterns, and can also resonate with those thought patterns and then reflect that energy right back to us and fortify our current state of being. That is to say, if you are caught in scarcity and fear and self-condemnation, or you're being condemned by your local church or synagogue, those energies are going to resonate with the darker, more foreboding energies of the universe, and you're going to be fortified in that thinking, in that feeling, in that state of being. On the other hand, if you realize that you are a self-judging being, that is to say, whatever state of consciousness you exist in is the state of heaven, or hell for that matter, that you experience. So James is talking about clearing. Maybe we could talk just a little bit about clearing. Now we have that caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Michael calling from Texas.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Brooke. It's an honor to be on your show. First, I just wanted to say, now without you guys and Coast, I think I completely go out of my mind. It's so great to hear you guys. And so I just wanted to acknowledge both of you guys for that. You guys are doing an incredible service to those out here.
Thank you.
Hope, you know. And so I just have a quick question. I know there's a lot to go over tonight, so I'll just get it out there and listen for your guys' answer. But
okay.
James and Brooks, this carrot and stick that's being kind of waved in front of us about disclosure, like the, you know, stuff that, you know, you hear Richard Hoagland talking about, which sounds great, and I love Richard's work, but still, like this, as much as I would love to hear our government disclose, as ambassadors, how do we just create our own disclosure and not live in that paradigm that that really is deceptive, relying upon our leaders to disclose? How, as ambassadors, do we make that happen on our own? So thanks.
Well, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I have fretted a little bit about the disclosure a subject for a number of years, and I've come to the conclusion that the government only thinks that it's withholding information from us. The ETs are going to have contact affect our civilization when we are ready for that effect to take place. Am I far off from this, James?
No, you're right on. I thought, you know, this guy was talking about SETI the other day, and I had to give him kudos. I started laughing when he said it, but he said that he started asking questions, and he said that, you know, aren't you presuming that these beings are extremely advanced beings that are coming here and more advanced than we are, you know, in technology and consciousness and everything else? And they agreed with it. They said, yes, you know, that's one of our presumptions. And he says, well, and he goes, that being the case, he said, don't you think they're already monitoring us? And if they're choosing when they want to contact us, and maybe we ought to rethink that, you know, get out of our arrogance and kind of rethink that program. And he just kind of summed it up in a nutshell. And what I see is that, contact is happening all over the world right now, to those that have risen to the occasion. So it's a time seeing impulse said that, and this is back, God, 4 or 5 years ago, that well over 80%, I think it was up to almost 86%, one of their polls was saying that, you know, there is a government cover up and UFOs do exist. So the cover up is over with. I mean, it's dead, and everything they do to continue in it is just, you know, hammering in another nail in their credibility coffin, you know. So I think the cover up is over. Basically, it's just over. And do we really need the government to tell us that they're here? Why don't we just you know, everybody go within, meditate on it, tell, you know, rise to the occasion, have your own experience. Again, we're giving, putting authority outside of ourselves, waiting for some other system to tell us the obvious of what we already know. So I mean, that's my feeling about it. Yeah, it's good to come clean and start telling the truth, I think. I think when they do finally say they are here, I'd be very careful with why they're here or what they add to the party, or, you know, make sure they don't
turn it into
a threat so they can get the warranters going.
Mike, how does that make you feel when, you know, the government says there's no such thing as UFOs, why there haven't been any crashes here on the Earth, and you just stand there and chuckle and say, I hate to tell you this, but I've seen the man behind the curtain, okay? I know he exists.
Well, you know, what I feel about it is what Dolores Cannon had to say about it. I feel, you know, that I never was meant to be here, and I know, and I'm just connected. I know that I've incarnated here from someplace else, because I just don't, you know, I just really feel inspired by what Dolores had to say. I mean, James could get into that a little bit. I know you guys can talk about the next hour, the second Earth. That's how I feel about it. This whole second Earth is resonating. This, what Dolores was talking about, what you guys were talking about. I know, Brooks, you, the journey to the middle Earth, you know, that was real exciting. And there's something there, the second Earth. So I look forward to hearing about that, because that's how I feel about it. It's like,
yeah,
something that's naturally,
yeah,
at the tip of my tongue right now. Like, we're synchronizing on this middle Earth, I mean the second Earth, and this split, and it's like, that's just the only, that's the way I feel I'm going home, you know? I feel like I'm going home, so it's good.
Yeah, I'm smiling as you're saying that. You know, James says all the time, as above, so below. Well, we already know what it's like above, or at least you are probably a first-timer here on this world, and you have some clarity of memory of where you came from, or at least how it was where you were. And you brought that here with you like a toolbox ready to use on this world. Not to forsake this world, not to say, oh, gee, I can't wait to get off of this planet. But you came with your hammer and saw to build that reality here on this planet, and you can't wait to get started.
Yeah, I just happen to be a carpenter. I'm hoping to maybe do some work for James when I get out to Washington in December. So, funny you say that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's great energy.
Man, it's great. It's great to talk to you guys. I can't wait to hear the last hour of the show. Take care.
Oh yeah, make sure you have your seatbelt fastened, Michael, because it's going to be good.
Yeah,
I heard the
interview on Coast to Coast with Dolores Cannon, and I think, you know, anybody that hasn't heard it should definitely go and listen to it, because she was right on some amazing things, and I haven't had time to really get into her research because I was so busy doing my own research. But at the same time, after hearing her on Coast to Coast, I see it parallels the research I've been doing and the work that you've been doing, Brooks, as well, and they're all tying in together now. And we are all coming to the same conclusion that, you know, this new Earth is coming. Now, one of the things that I was given the other day is that, you know, as far as the inner Earth, and there's a lot of history around the inner Earth and how the Atlanteans and Lemurians went underground during the cataclysms and continued. And she talks about that as well. But my feeling is that once we go through this shift, is that we are going to join the rest of the universe, and we are going to join the inner Earth as well, because we'll be at a level of consciousness, and the heavy, denser vibrations will be gone, and they'll be able to come out and walk among us and play with us. And, you know, that's when they say, you know, all these mythological beings like the gnomes and the fairies and all these other things that we think aren't real are going to be able to come out and play and interact with this. And you know, the bizarre side of it, it's already happening here at the ranch. We're getting a preview of all of this because we're in a vortex. We're in a where the veils are very thin, and people are taking photographs of these nature spirits and interacting with them and actually having them fly right up to their faces and saying hi and turning off.
Last time we were up there, there was a guy up there that had a set of infrared, like, binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also had an infrared lamp that
yeah.
stayed on. It wasn't like the flashbulb of a camera.
Uh-huh.
And he let me look through that. And, when you see the flash go off, you can see the orbs with your naked eye, and you catch them mm-hmm. on film, and you say, gee, isn't that wonderful? But when I looked through those binoculars, James, it was like an ocean, like rivers of orbs
oh, yeah.
just flowing through. Oh, my gosh. You, it was like it was unbelievable. It was like an ocean of bubbles going through, and
uh-huh.
we were only getting snapshots with the snap cameras, but
uh-huh.
it was really amazing how much energy was flowing through that crowd.
Oh yeah, and Darren, that's the person that was there. He actually brought that equipment up. I have all that, the same gear now, to show people. And when he comes, both of us get out there and. He's actually photographing and getting some incredible fairy pictures with that technology of
wow.
these winged beings. And they have heads. They look like they're wearing little gowns, you know, and they have wings and feet, everything. It's amazing when you see these and you go, you know, that's not a moth or a bug. And
I've never
we had
seen
a woman
like it. It's
yeah,
really
we had a woman psychologist here. And there's another guy sitting there, and this fairy came up, and right in their face was fluttering with its wings, and everything came right up to their face and then took off. And then it did it again twice.
And she was unaware of it, except that someone could see it.
Yeah, and she said that, you know, she goes, when people come to me and tell me stories like this, I diagnose them as, you know, psychotic. She goes, what am I going to do now? You know, now it's in my face, and it's real. And I said, well, maybe you should write about it.
That's so good.
It's pretty amazing what's going on here. Every individual has their own experience here, and some have just outrageous experiences, and some come here and they haven't opened themselves up enough to experience, you know, the full measure of what's happening here at the ranch.
Well, it's definitely a phenomenon. Before we close out the hour, we've got about 8 minutes to go in this hour. Do we have another caller on the line? Nope? Okay. Well, let's finish out this hour then. We are talking about the fact that we are a source of energy on this planet. As individuals, as consciousnesses, as we exercise our intention. And keep in mind, a lot of people do exercise their intention unconsciously. You see them at the grocery store all the time, dragging their kids through the store, yelling things like, get over here, stop touching that, don't move, will you be quiet? You know, they're exercising their intention over another sovereign being, but they're doing it unconsciously. They don't realize the effect that they're having on the universe, but they are definitely having an effect. The wonderful thing, the amazing thing, the phenomenal thing that James and I are trying to get across to you in this hour is that if you use that intention consciously, on purpose, you can have very profound effects on the energies within your sphere of influence, and you'll be very surprised how far that sphere of influence is. And that's what we're going to talk about in our final hour. So, James, tell me what happens. You have individuals out there who are exercising their intention for abundance or for peace or for harmony or for clearing their own energies. What happens when hundreds of people do it at the same time in the same location?
Well, usually a stargate opens up and everybody has their socks blown off and have an incredible experience, which is pretty much what happened at the last conference. We had Lisa Renee came and gave a talk, and we had just about the entire conference came in at the end of everybody wanted to do a group clearing and excuse me, connect with these higher beings. And so we did. We went into the, and I've never done that before. And I just felt like it was time, and people kept pushing me and pushing me to do it. And I said, why not, you know? I'm sure we have the energy, access to the energy to do it. And why not just do a mass clearing with everybody there? So we did. And we sat down at the table together and started doing this clearing. And we cleared the energy, cleared out any unseen negative influences. And then all of a sudden, people just started popping and going off in the group and opening up and sighing. And you know, it just opened up and, you know, it shifted into toning and singing and with the entire group. And then I saw this wonderful green and golden energy just spiral down from the top of the building and come out and to everybody. And the majority of the people either felt it or even saw it. And it was an incredible transforming energy, and it turned out to be an Andromedan gate. And so we opened up a gate to the Andromedas, to, you know, one of the highest consciousness and energy available before you get to the source. And they're mythologically known as archangels because they have huge energy bands behind them, and they have magnetized light bodies. So when you do get a group together and your focus is high, your intent is very high, you would be surprised what'll happen and what, you know, just a few people can do, to, you know, open up, you know, these gates that are gates to extremely high levels of consciousness and energy and how those are going to help the entire planet when that happens.
Now, what is the tone of the energy when these groups get together? If our listeners get out there in Texas or in eastern Kentucky or in Ohio or Vermont, and they want to do one of these groups themselves, when we were out in your field, and John Riley had his technology out there, and it was putting out that rotating magnetic energy that made it even so that the spiritually inept were enabled and energized in order to do this. What's the spirit of the mood? Is it somber? Is it quiet? Is it reverent, or is it joyful and happy and playful?
It's totally joyful, happy, and playful. And, you know, and we were trying to get the group. We noticed we were taking photographs, and people first walked out there, you know, nothing was happening, a few orbs, you know, hardly anything. And then, you know, and then there were, I noticed when, you know, John, bless his heart, you know, was doing some experiments, and he was trying to, like, guide the group, you know, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and do this. And when people started, like, singing Beatles songs and just goofing off and having a good time, the whole place just opened wide open with wall-to-wall orbs and everything else. So what I find out is the more loving, the more giddy you can get, the more happy, and the more you're just open, you know, without any of these structures or other programs, the more the higher beings
childlike.
Like it. Oh, yeah, it was just amazing. The more, there's an old saying, you have to become like one of these before you can enter the kingdom of heaven, and they're talking about a child.
Yeah.
And you,
be less
exactly.
grown up. Be more childlike. Not childish,
yeah.
But childlike. Joyful
exactly.
and happy,
go
like
and
chasing
play.
A butterfly through a field.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people were doing, and when they did that, the whole field just lit up. And not only were there wall-to-wall light spheres everywhere, but we actually had a ship come in, and then we have a photograph of actually a dimensional door opening up with these beautiful
right.
rainbow energies in it.
Giant vortex. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of our second hour, James. I'm sure we'll have more callers in our final hour. In our final hour, we're going to talk about this union of the polarity, this two Earths, a spirit Earth and a temporal Earth, a spirit body and a physical body, our body, the Earth's body, and the symbiosis between these two living beings and why we're here at this time. We'll take a short break, get a drink of water, fasten your seatbelt. We'll be back with more X Squared Radio in about 3 minutes.
Our friends down at NRG Resources have introduced a new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TVT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TVT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the six-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from Eastern Kentucky and also near Mount Adams, Washington. If you want to be part of the program, you can call in toll-free anywhere worldwide, 888-228-4494, 888-228-4494. We had a couple of people last hour that we did not get to. Please feel free to call back in. We'll make sure you get on. If you don't have toll-free access in your country, you can reach us at 530-776-5154. That's 530-776-5154. My guest tonight is James Gilliland. We are talking about the union of the polarity. This is the spirit earth and the temporal earth, the spirit body and the physical body, the existence of ethereal energies and what we see as our own physical bodies, which are, I hate to tell you this, largely open space. If you think you are a solid form, think again. Relative to the universe, you are not dense at all. You're actually a quite high energy being. And what we want to make you aware of in this hour is that the Earth itself is a very unique planet in the galaxy. And it is the blending of higher energy and lower energy, which for tens of thousands of years, maybe even millions of years, has existed in some form of harmony. Occasionally, it goes out of harmony and dissonance, and you have upheavals and cataclysms, which are local to the Earth. Sometimes, the solar system gets in a peculiar place in the galaxy, and it is affected by outside energies, and that is the case as we speak. Before we get deep into it, let's talk to our caller. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Indiana.
Indiana, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. First of all, I just wanted to say I found your show through Conscious Media Network. Excuse me.
Oh, thank you.
And,
I
was just wondering if you were going to continue to update your shows on that.
Yes, I've been remiss. I've been traveling a lot, and I'm sorry. I promise I will update that weekly. It has been gotten a little stagnant there, but I will keep up the Conscious Media Network. We love the people at Conscious Media Network.
Yeah, that website has really meant a lot to me in terms of consciousness. I did have one question for you guys. I've been hearing some very dire predictions about 2012. Do you guys have any insight into what may or may not occur?
Well, yes, and we're going to give you two levels of that in this hour. That's the perfect question for this hour, because... there are forces acting upon the Earth now that have not acted upon the Earth in many, many thousands of years. The solar wind is at an all-time low, perplexing solar scientists. And because that wind is low, galactic winds are making their way to the Earth as we speak and having their effect on DNA, both vegetative and biological like us. There are also gravity forces, gravity waves and radio waves, that are having their effect on the planet. All the planets in our solar system are warming. We peaked out in 1998, but it is not over yet. Now, there's a movie coming out called 2012, and I got to tell you, it's a little sensationalized, but it's not far off relative to the size of the tsunamis and the effects on the Earth that could happen. And I want to use the word could very loosely, because what we've been setting up the last couple of hours, and I want James to weigh in here, is that we are conscious beings with very powerful intentions. We came here on a mission, as it were. Some of us have incarnated here many thousands of times, some only a few dozen times, and what James mentioned at the latter part of our last hour, some of us are first-timers here. And we came with a specific toolbox, specific talents that we have been trained out of because of our public school education or our religious indoctrination. But it is time to get the toolbox out. So, James, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, what the information that we've been getting is that there is a series of, there's going to be an escalation as these new energies are coming in. And one thing about, you know, all these new energies, you know, these cosmic rays and photons and that are coming in, you know, they all carry with them consciousness. And as you're saying, you know, with any major influx of energy that comes into the planet, there's also a major influx of consciousness. And we're definitely undergoing a vibrational lifting and awakening healing process. It's full scale. And the severity of that process, I think, is up to humanity. We can lessen it quite a bit, but I still think some of it needs to happen, and it's just part of the Earth's ascension process, and we need to get, you know, become aware of this flow and go with this flow, you know, with loving detachment, and listen to her. And if she says, you know, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, or you start having dreams and visions and things, start listening to those dreams and visions. Because if you're being, you know, told to move off the coast, it's a good idea to get off the coast. If you have a gut feeling, hey, I better, you know, store up some food and get on a place where there's fresh water and you know, get my hands back in the earth, and then you might want to start listening to that. You know, if you've chosen to just check out with this program, then you know, kudos to you, you know, because we're all eternal souls here. We, you know, our souls are creating experiences for us, and some of those lessons are some real hard lessons. And but, you know, the bottom line is that we are eternal. We don't, you know, we'll definitely have a chance, you know, to come back again and do it all over. I always say, why start over in diapers, you know, because that's what's going to happen. And, you know, why not maintain everything you've learned up to now and open up to everything you've ever learned, and keep that continuation of consciousness, not, you know, having to start over with another personality, you know, another ego and another dynamic, you know, that, you know, that might be keeping you, you know, having to go through that all again.
Well, one of the things we talked about in our last hour, we said, you know, how powerful the intention of one being is. I mean, look at beings like Jesus or Buddha or Babaji or these other ascended masters. And then we talked about what happens when a group of us get together and apply our intention together, childlike manner, in a playful manner, try to open up these stargates. But what happens if a significant portion of the population, all at one time, alive, conscious, physical beings, aware of their energy being, apply their intention in a unified manner on a planet that's going through this evolutionary change? Can you get this picture? Do you see what we could do with that energy?
Yeah, I agree. That, you know, the other thing too is that there's, you know, excuse me, there's the momentum of, you know, 6.7 or whatever billion people that are going in one direction. And a large majority of those people are actually being steered by a very small percentage of beings that would love to steer this place into the downward spiral and see it go into total social, economic, and environmental collapse and just consume everything. And, you know, they have a name for that. They call it the beast and, you know, the those that serve the beast. But, you know, there's a lot of prophecies around that, you know, about this situation we're going to, or going through, you might say. But my feeling of it is that I align a lot with some of the Lakota prophecies and a lot of the Native American prophecies, and I'm seeing that unfolding right now. And I do see this beast, and, you know, the beast is 2,000 miles wide is what they say, and that represents its reign. And it just wants to consume and control and dominate everything. And it finally gets to the point where everybody thinks there's no hope left and the beast consumes itself. And, so, you know, those people that are connected to the beast or serving the beast or are working with the beast are going to experience the worst, scenarios, you might say, just by the choices that they've made. And, you know, the Hopi prophecies talk about two worlds, and the old world of greed and separation and misuse of technology and everything else actually takes its downward spiral and ends. And the new world where people are focused on love and harmony and working together in the highest and best good of humanity, Earth, that one continues. And and so lately they've been actually showing me, well, not lately, back in 82, we talked about that earlier, about there being a split and there actually being two worlds, which would kind of align with the Hopi prophecies of two worlds. And, you know, they also talk about coming up from the interior, from another world on the interior, in a very advanced world, you know.
So what do you think, James and caller? Do you think that the 500-meter-high tsunamis are the destiny of this planet, or do you think that a portion of this planet is going to rise above that and be as heaven?
Well, that's what I believe. I believe there's that there are certain changes that are going to be that we will experience as we move into 2012. In that 2012, we actually go into that split, into a different dimension, where there will be two realities happening and two Earths. And one Earth will be the people that moved and, you know, moved with this flow. And they moved out to communities and they moved out to live in harmony with the Earth. They sought higher ground, you know, and they focused on love and joy and bliss and had more command over there, and they were creating a whole different reality. And the other Earth will be those that want to continue in the separation and the greed and the, you know, destroying the environment and the wars and everything else. So I see a separation at that point, that 2012 point, but I definitely see a lot of changes going into that, you know, that we will be experiencing. Now, my thing I'm not sure about and is that how soon, you know, do we have to wait till 2012 for that shift to happen, or will some people be making that shift ahead of time? And that's what I've seen, is that I'm already seeing people that are moving between worlds that are being able to appear and disappear, and they're right on the brink of that already. And it's blinking in and out. It's happening on and off for them. And eventually it'll probably just end up with them in a whole different parallel world altogether. So,
yep, I'm nodding in agreement. How about you, caller?
Well, it's something that is a little outside my level of understanding in terms of another dimension, but I'm definitely open to it.
Yeah, it was outside my understanding when I first heard it in 1982, and I said, there's no way I'm going to write about this. You know, people are going to, you know, throw a white jacket on me and I'll never be heard from again. But now, you know, with this mini world theories, or, you know, the theories about worlds existing parallel right alongside each other, and then having experienced these worlds myself firsthand, I know they exist. And with that knowledge base, and then also the latest quantum physics, where they are proving that, you know, basically mass is nothing more than condensed consciousness or thought, that just about anything goes. And I think each individual is going to choose what kind of reality they experience, you know, what kind of, which world they're going to be going to. But there is a huge event, and they're all talking about it. All the higher dimensional ETs are talking about it, and they're talking about this massive event that's coming. And as far as the
physics community, you know, we vacillate between not denying it and then openly supporting it. So
yeah.
it's definitely moving in the direction James is talking about. And I totally understand about, you know, you making the statement that, you know, as far as your paradigm, your reality, the advent or the realization that there are alternate or extra dimensions in which other possibilities, other potentials exist, is a little foreign to you. I totally empathize with that. But I have seen, both in the instrumentation and in when we reach the end of instrumentation and the end of mathematics, there are still possibilities. There are still empirical results that we get that you know, in the past we routinely threw them out, but now we're considering them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to the former caller who was raised in a Pentecostal environment, and even though I wasn't, sometimes I feel like I wish that I could believe in that kind of thing, because I think it would give me so much comfort. But now that I don't believe in that, but I don't really understand about these other dimensions, and I'm sort of in this middle ground, which frankly is a little bit scary.
Well, sure. It's always been easier for society to abdicate its sovereignty to some charismatic leader, whether it's Pentecostal or Catholic or a religious altogether, just a hoopla or a holy rollers or whatever. Societies have always been willing to abdicate their sovereignty to something that's simple and explainable, to which they don't have to put any energy, and they're just going to be entertained on Sunday. But that's about to change. The youth that's coming into the world right now are not really swallowing the religious pill. They're more spiritual. They're more inclined to say, you believe in what? A God that kills people, that does genocide, this jihad, this condemnation of another human life? What kind of God is that? Where did you come from? And we're realizing that we are all a piece of God. In fact, we are embryonic gods ourselves. And so there may not be some gray-haired being in the universe that sits there, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you go to heaven, you go to hell. We judge ourselves by assuming our own energy state, which is exactly what the Earth is going through right now. This planet is about to go through an evolutionary shift. Part of it is going to a higher, shall we call it, paradisaical glory, a higher vibration, a fifth dimension. And those beings that resonate, those consciousnesses that resonate with that energy are going to flow with it. Just like James has been saying tonight, people will have dreams, visions, inclinations. They will wake up one day and say, wow, I need to sell this house and maybe get myself out of debt, put together a little food, and let's head for the mountains. Don't really know why, just feel like that's what I should be doing. And they're going to yield to that inclination, and they're going to ascend with the higher earth.
So follow your instincts.
Try well,
to align
instinct,
oneself with higher vibrations.
I think instinct is the wrong word. That's more animalistic. That's more like, a fight or flight kind of reaction. I would go with what feels like heaven to you. Mm-hmm. That's probably a little better guideline. Would you say, James?
Yeah, I would call it more of a, it's a feeling and just a premonition, a really strong feeling that gets stronger and stronger. And sometimes it's enhanced by dreams or visions, and a lot of times it's just that gut feeling that, you know, this isn't going to continue. And if I stay aligned with this, I'm going to go down with it. And I need to choose a different way, you know, a different way of being, a different way of living. And, I just want to live in harmony with, you know, my fellow man and with nature. And I want to make my own personal God creation, you know, or connection, you might say. And so a lot of people are feeling that, and they're realizing that there aren't answers in the world that they live right now, and it's no longer bringing them love or joy or bliss. It's just not working, and they're seeking out some other way, and that other way is being inspired deep within them, you know, even by some of the masters that many religions worship are actually inspiring that. And some of these old paradigms are actually going against the very teachings of the masters or saints that they supposedly represent.
And I
thank
think
you guys
see,
for your time.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for calling.
I just didn't want to hog everything. So thank you very much. I appreciate what you guys are doing very much. Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thanks for coming on the show.
We wouldn't be here without you, so we appreciate you calling. Thank you so much.
Great. Good night.
Good night. I think what you see, James, is that congregations all over the world, all kinds of different denominations, are beginning to lose strength. Even though, you know, you hear the news say that Islam is spreading, you know, all over the world, I think it's spreading because fear energy is so much more intense than love energy. And for some reason, people are sucked into fear a lot easier than they're sucked into joy. In fact, it's a completely different kind of mechanism. You're not really sucked into joy. You're more inspired into joy. And that's a much less aggressive, much less energetic process than being pulled into fear. People can be pulled into fear when they lose their money, or they lose their house, or they lose their spouse, or they lose their freedom. And as I said before, they want to abdicate their sovereignty to another more forceful, more dominating energy. And that's why Islam is spreading. Not to say that the religion of Islam is a dominating, fearful religion, but it is the process by which it spreads is more driven by fear and scarcity than it is by inspiration and salvation.
Well, you know, a lot of people are looking for an outlet, and they're looking for a place that says, hey, it's okay. You know, it's okay to be pissed, to be mad, to be angry, and it's okay. And we're going to create a space for that where you can vent that and project that out or act it out in very aggressive, harmful ways. And, you know, what's the bottom line is that, you know, it is okay to have those feelings. And it wasn't right, many of the things that did happen, which, you know, is a no-brainer, you know, basically. But, you know, the thing is to perpetuate it and keep it going is really not any faith that I know of. You know, they always talk about forgiveness, about, moving in a different direction, you know, focusing on love and joy, and they talk about a God of love. So, you know, these offshoots and these other expressions are just kind of like an example of some many, many injustices that have been going on the planet, and they're creating an avenue for those things to be expressed and acted out, which is really not the path, because it just keeps creating more violence and more injustice.
That's right.
And more problems.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah,
the proper energy should be one toward moving toward forgiveness instead of revenge. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
This is Gail from upstate New York.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. can you hear me okay? I'm on my cell.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Great. We love cell phones.
Okay. I've been following this 2012 thing for a couple of years now, and I've come across a lot of researchers. Now, there is one out there that I won't mention his name, but basically, he's saying if you're 51% service to others as opposed to service to self, you'll probably be okay. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's probably a good guideline. I'm not going to say there's a hard and fast formula, but I think if you are less in selfish ego and you're more in service and dedication to others, and not so much in feeding them all the time, but in then helping them feed themselves, empowering them so that they can free themselves instead of being reliant upon you. And in some sense, that can be very nice, but not so kind, because you remove their integrity and their ability to support themselves. It's kind of a fine line. But as far as your care about others, your genuine care about their well-being, about their opportunity to better themselves and improve themselves, that's probably a really good guideline. What do you say, James?
Well, you know, that is true, but I also want to caution people about, you know, just because you are 51%, you know, in that percentage bracket, is that somebody asked me about that. You know, there's some really wonderful, loving people along the coast, and you know, why is God punishing them? And I said, you know, God isn't punishing them. And I said, they'll just come back as better listeners. And you know, Yeah, nobody hates them. Nobody's wanting to punish them or anything else, but the Earth is moving in a direction and things are escalating. And, you know, if you just look at the statistics and what's happening on the planet, it's very obvious that, you know, and watching these other tsunamis that are, you know, popping around the world, that it might be a good idea to start moving off the coast. So basically their extreme attachment to where they live or their lifestyle or their surroundings or whatever else is blocking the message that these other highly service-oriented beings are delivering, you know, which is, you know, pay attention to your environment and start preparing. You know, so that's what I see in that experience. I mean, it's you know, a lot of times it's awesome to be a really good, caring person and everything else, but you also got to pay attention at the same time.
Well, that's a pretty good response. My next question is, I have taken a long time in my life to get to the whatever spiritual level I'm at, and I kind of understand what's going on here with this planet and all the information out there, but I have a very difficult time trying to explain this to somebody that doesn't know anything about it. And they tend to always look at the fearful factors first, but never look beyond that. Do you guys have any advice about how to explain this to someone else?
Tough one.
It's a really good question, because a lot of people have a lexicon when it comes to spirituality. It centers around Jesus, or it centers around their church, or their particular family upbringing, or their family tradition. And that's a difficult thing to get around. However, that being said, I've spoken to Mormons, I've spoken to Orthodox Jews, I've spoken to Muslims, and it's kind of interesting that this awareness of the idea that we are both spiritual beings and physical beings, and that the Earth is both a spiritual planet and a physical planet, and that there's an ascension process that's occurring here, is actually independent of religion. Even though they're locked into their own traditions, if you will share the idea that they are actually a part of God, not separate from God, and that they are actually eternal beings having a mortal experience, they'll latch on to it right away. And they'll say, you know what, I've been taught differently, but I believe what you're saying is true. And they may want to know where to go from there. And actually, your years of study and whatever understanding you have that's got you as the clarity that you have is very valuable. And I wouldn't pass up too many opportunities to share that. Your thoughts, James?
Oh, yeah, I feel the same way. I know there is a common agreement that people feel something is up. They're feeling, you know, energies that are playing out. They have this just gut feeling or knowingness that, you know, things aren't going to be business as usual, and there's something right around the corner. They just don't know what it is, and they're not sure of what it is. And, you know, they're feeling a stirring or a movement inside of them, and a desire to know. And that's part of the process that we're underway right now. And a lot of times, if you just kind of identify that and just say, all right, you know, you just ask them, like, are you feeling like something's up, like something's going on much bigger than us, and there's also, you know, something around the corner here. Almost everybody will say, yeah, you know, it's not, it just feels like something big is on the horizon, that something is coming up. And
it's sort of like getting the missing pages to the Bible. You know, you've mm-hmm. read it over and over again, and you go, you know what, there's a chapter missing here somewhere. There's you know, something that I can't quite put my finger on. And, you know, I don't want
That's
to
exactly
seem like I'm
feel.
Not... Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm not faithful. I don't want to seem like I'm not worthy or anything like that. But there's something else going on here, guys. And I think you hit the nail on the head, caller.
Mm-hmm.
What about our kids, especially the ones that are not teenagers, that are not in high school, that are younger? How's this going to affect them? We always talk about the adults having to make a decision, but what about our kids?
Well, that's a really good question. I raised my children in a religious atmosphere because I felt it was good for them to have the structure and not so much loosey-goosey kind of new age, this feels good, so let's do this. Give them something consistent, like church songs and, you know, at least some belief that there's a divinity about the existence here on the earth. And I think still that was the right decision. But that being said, I didn't lock them into the dogma. Once they got to where they could make a decision on their own, or at least think about these things in a more real fashion instead of a Sunday school kind of nursery rhyme fashion. And for each of my four kids, that was a different point in their lives. Some of them it was 10 or 11 years old, and some of them it was 17 or 18 years old. I didn't really want them to rebel and go into, you know, drugs and promiscuity and all of that, but I also didn't want them to be locked into, if you don't believe in God, you're going to go to hell. So there was a fine line of wisdom to walk there, and I think as leaders, as caretakers, at least, yeah, I am a firm believer that some of my kids are actually older than me. At least one of them is. My youngest son's probably older than I am. He's one of the most ancient beings I've ever met. But that being said, we're the physical caretakers of those young beings here on this earth. We're responsible for their daily bread, for their clothes, for their care, and their feeding. And that means that we need to take a less selfish view of our dominion over them and make sure that they have the maximum opportunity to reach their fullest potential.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's very, you know, the children are very important, and it's up to us, you know, who have children to, you know, keep them, you know, clothed and keep food on the table and, you know, create a space that's safe, you know. And, you know, these kids are going into their parents and pulling them on the, you know, pant leg or the dress in the morning or whatever and saying, you know, Mom, I had a dream, you know. And Mom or Dad, I had a dream. And I think it's time to start listening to them and what they're having to say, because they are seeing the future and they are having these dreams. And we can learn a lot from them, and we need to start listening to them. And I do, I, you know, I see kids, and I see kids in areas I know where changes are going to happen. And, you know, my heart goes out to these kids, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now, is, you know, because I don't want to see any harm. But I also know all of these people are eternal souls. And in my, you know, experience in this realm, I realized that some people came in for a short stop over, you know, and they're just here for a little while and they want to get back to heaven or get back to these higher levels of consciousness from where they came. And they're playing a part, and that's why they're there. And, you know, until we can see the big picture, we just don't know what another soul needs for completion or what their journey is. And although my heart goes out to them, and I'd love to see everybody holding hands and smiling and living abundantly and everything else, I know, you know, that might not be within, you know, my abilities to manifest, you know, for everyone.
Well, I appreciate your comments, gentlemen. And Dr. Brooks, I've read your three volumes, and they're in my personal library. They're really, really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm going to get off now and let somebody else come. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, thanks for
calling. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. All right, one more caller out there. Do we have another caller on the line? Okay, we have about 20 minutes left, James. What I want to do, people are going to be... I got a feeling that this movie, 2012, because of its sensationalism and because of the success that this individual director had with the movie, I guess it was The Day After Tomorrow or whatever, the one where the global superstorm hit, the one with the Bridges boy in it. It's going to be very popular, and it's going to sweep through the consciousness, the awareness, because... You know, that's what all of the websites out there, the doom and gloomers, the ones that have spent the money promoting their agenda are putting out there. Is it really going to be that cataclysmic to the human race? Let me put this another way. There's a symbiotic relationship between the humans and animals that are on the planet and the planet. Earth would not be reaching the fullness of its potential if it was this beautiful, glorious paradise drifting through the blackness of space with no life on it, which it could be perfectly capable of doing. But it isn't. It's going through the blackness of space full of life and full of almost 7 billion human beings on it right now. And that mix is changing every minute of every day as those that are not physically capable of surviving on this planet for one reason or another, either the abundance of food or disease or war, and they're being replaced by new souls or new bodies that are coming back in with old souls or reincarnated souls over and over again. We have reached a point of population on this world, I'm convinced, this planet has never seen before. And this arrangement, this collection of consciousnesses in this point in the galaxy, in this point in the universe, is extremely rare and thus very, very important. What kind of importance should we be putting on our daily lives, James, other than going in and putting in our 8 hours and collecting our paycheck?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Can you imagine that if, let's say, this Earth is going to go through an ascension process to, like, fifth level or, you know, this extremely high consciousness or even Christ consciousness, let's say, and, you know, why not? Why wouldn't 7 billion people want to be here? Or why wouldn't all these souls just want to jump in here for this experience, you know, and ride this wave, you might say. And on the other note, too, as you think about it, and some might be jumping in and not fully equipped to ride this wave, and they're taking it as far as they can. You know, they're taking this wave as far as they can and falling off their boards, you know, and they might jump in on the next wave, you know. So,
they get to tell the story. I was there. I was there when Earth went through this amazing cataclysmic ascension process. I didn't survive it, but I was there. That's a very rare opportunity. Very rare.
Yeah, they can have the T-shirt, you know, like, 2012, I was there, you know, or whatever, you know, and wear it throughout the universe of the galaxy. But, I mean, it's an exciting time to be here. There's amazing challenges to be here during this time, but we have everything within us to rise up to those challenges and greet those challenges. And, you know, I see over and over again with each experience, you know, how are we going to greet that experience? Are we going to greet it as a powerful, loving, joyous, manifesting God being, or are we going to greet it as a victim and a powerless being? And are we going to maintain our integrity and say no to actions that are harmful to humanity and the Earth, or are we going to continue to be a part of that and support that program?
Teacher one time that related all this to potatoes. She said, are you going to be a spectator, or are you going to be a participator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I see over and over again is that every person has a choice on which reality they want to feed and move within that reality. And there are certain individuals here that definitely do want to take this downward spiral, and they want to take as many people as they can with them and continue, you know, in this total greed separation game. And there's other people here that are saying, you know, I'm not going to participate in this anymore, and I want to move in an entirely different direction. And that's what I'm seeing, is that it's like all these higher levels of consciousness and all these planes and dimensions that have already gone through this are here. And some are spectators, but the majority of them are here to help. And And they're like cheerleaders, and they're inspiring us, and they're saying, come on, go for it, go for it. You know, you can do it. You know,
well, I like our mutual friend, Jay-Z Knight, Ramtha, saying, you know, create a new neighborhood. If you don't like the neighborhood that you live in, you don't have to move. Just create a new one. Mm-hmm. If you work in a workplace, and when you arrive at the job every morning, you feel like throwing up in the parking lot, you could quit your job and go somewhere else. But I suspect it's probably not the job. It's the way you feel when you're at the job. What I would suggest is creating a new heaven at your job, and you'll be surprised how that place will change.
And you're usually there for a reason, you know. It's you might be there to bring the light into that area and shift, you know, the consciousness in that area. And, you know, it's that might be your unique purpose for being here. So, you know, everybody
and
just
also,
needs to get really clear within themselves and, you know, make their own personal connection with Creator, God, Spirit, whatever name you want to give it, and start operating from that, you know, that deep core connection and you know, stop operating from fear and guilt and unworthiness and all the other programs that enslave us, and you know, just learn
to
cooperate instead of compete.
That's exactly
where
I was going to go with that, is to get clear. And if you need help, if you're not one of those kind of people that can just, you know, clear this energy yourself and remove those reflecting surfaces of despair and scarcity from yourself, you know, get a hold of James up at ESETI. Take a weekend off, get up there, and get clear of this stuff. Just shed it like taking a rock out of your backpack. Quit packing it around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, you know, the bottom line at the core of everybody's being resides this outrageous, you know, loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess that, you know, came from the source itself. And the bottom line is that we all came from the source. We lowered ourselves down through the dimensions, you know, to this experience, and we all are going to return to the source, the very same source. And in that, we're all, you know, united. And we have all these other beliefs and programs that think that only one group is part of the source, and they only one group came from the source, and only one group will return back to the source. But, you know, that's a total misnomer. But, you know, the bottom line is that we all came from the source and we all return to the source, and we're jumping into these earth suits with all these different colors and cultures and religious beliefs and having this journey, you know. But at the end of this lifetime, basically, we all go back to spirit, where we're all equal, we're all even.
Right. And planets, all the matter that's coagulated in this part of the galaxy to make up this planet being moved into this orbit around this sun with this particular radiation, this particular temperature where water is liquid and oxygen is plentiful and plants grow spontaneously on most of the planet, is all by design. And it's really by your design. Your energy, along with the consciousness of all the sentient beings in this universe, is what makes up this universe. You are part of it. And one of the most important realizations that you can come to, if you've been listening all 3 hours, you should get to this conclusion eventually, is that you are the creator. You are source. And if you don't like where you are, you don't like who you are, you don't like how you feel, you are the creator of that. It wasn't created for you. It wasn't forced upon you. You manifested it yourself. And I know that's a shock. I know that's almost unbelievable. I didn't bring this upon myself. Yes, you did. And that means that you can bring glory and abundance upon yourself as well.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, and if that's too much to handle, just, you know, go back to the basics, you know, is that we've made choices, and those choices have, or those actions have reactions to them, and those choices have predicaments that we've created, and we do magnetize people and events to us according to our consciousness. The problem is we're unconscious of those choices, and some of those choices were made in the past, and we're cleaning up those old programs as well. So, you know, the bottom line is the only way out is to realize that, you know, the same being that made those choices in the past can make new choices and different
yes.
choices and
right.
start creating a different future. And just by your attitude, your emotions, and your thoughts and the choices that you make, you can totally redirect your life, and you can redirect this planet, you know, once you hook into that higher aspect of yourself.
That's right.
It's pretty
That's
much
right.
unlimited what's available.
And there, but there is a structure to the process. It isn't
mm-hmm.
random. You don't need to cut your pictures out of a magazine and stick it with a magnet on your refrigerator and say, this is what I want. But you need to be able to solidify a vision of the process, what you want to be or what you want to do, and the have mm-hmm. will come. Or it won't make any difference to you because you won't the have won't be important to you at all. It'll be the being
yeah.
and the doing that's important. And before you know it, I mean really, before you know it, you'll already be in heaven, right here
oh.
on this planet.
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, there is a secret behind the secret that they seem to forget. And the bottom line is that most of those desires that you want, like that giant car, and I mean that giant house and that wife to die for and that big fancy car and everything else, were actually given to you. They have nothing to do with your own unique purpose for being here. And it's a program, and you're trying to manifest within the program of social consciousness. And so, you know, if those things don't come to you, then, you know, the reason why is that it's not part of your program. It's not really why you're here. It's just a program that you've accepted that it's being given to you throughout all the commercials and everything else. And you know, the real secret is to get in touch with your own unique purpose and fulfill that purpose and go in that direction. Align yourself with your soul's desires. And then things manifest, and you might get that big car, you might get that big house, everything else, but ultimately, the bottom line is that you really don't need all that stuff, you know, and...
Well, come on, when you were 8 years old, the things that you thought you just couldn't live without, by the mm-hmm. time you were 12 or 13, they weren't important to you, and the
no.
things that you thought you just absolutely were totally focused on when you were 19, when you're 39... They don't make any difference. Who cares about that shiny fast car as being the ultimate goal in life? Once you
yeah.
get the fast car, is life complete? You can die now? No. You realize as you mature, and you can do this at an extremely rapid pace,
mm-hmm.
as you mature as a soul, that is to say, as you align yourself with your true eternal purpose, you'll realize what is important. I do know people who honestly say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do on this world. And
yeah.
and I don't know what to say to that other than you need to get about trying to figure that out. Like James does, slow down a little bit, get a little quiet, get some meditation going on, get in your heart, and you will find the energy of your purpose. Whether it's a musician or a carpenter, whether you're a teacher or a lawyer, or whether you're an accountant or a computer programmer, those things will come to you.
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, it's time, you know, I always say if you're not already on this path by now, you've got some extreme catch-up to do. Because,
well, it's possible, though.
You know,
you
there's
know,
a movement,
time is all
and
relative.
This earth is evolving, and it is ascending, and we're going to have to do a little catch up here to stay with the program if we haven't already been on this path for a while.
Yep, get your knees up on the board because the wave is coming.
Exactly.
All right, my friend, it's been a great 3 hours. Jeez, I can't believe 3 hours has gone by so fast. It seems like 20 minutes when you and I get together.
Yeah.
James Gilliland has been my guest. His website is ECETI.org, and he's located in Mount Adams, Washington, and every summer, right around July 4th, he has a great Earth Transformation Conference. If you want to start putting dollars in an envelope, it's not very expensive to get up there. I promise you the time of your life if you come up there. James, it's been a real pleasure having you on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show, and I'll have to get you back on my show again real soon.
Sounds like a plan. I was on your program last night. You're on mine tonight, and my gosh, we thumped the bell of the planet the last couple of nights, and you can really feel the reverberation around the world. They're calling in from all over.
You know, I think everybody should tell their friends about these broadcasts and share them, you know, and I think they'll answer a lot of questions and, you know, get people to go within and kind of validate those inner feelings that people are having, you know, about something major is going on. You know, it'd be a good idea to send that out, send links out to this broadcast and send it out on your email list and let other people
That's
know
a good
about
idea.
It.
Put it on your Facebook. I know
exactly.
BBS Radio has a Facebook now. Go ahead and link this broadcast out there. Get people to sign up. What is it, a couple dollars to sign up for the archives? But this is the kind of broadcast that changes worlds. So if you heard this broadcast tonight, share it with a couple friends. Tell them to share it with a couple friends, and let's see if we can't move this planet in a new direction.
Oh, I agree. It's time.
All right, James, you have yourself a wonderful week. Be productive, and I'll be in touch in a few days.
All right, take care, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
My pleasure, James. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
All right, Earth Explorers, that is X Squared Radio. My name is Brooks Agnew. I'm the host of this program. We've been on BBS Radio now in our fifth year, and we really appreciate you, the listener. Thank you so much for participating tonight, and we will see you next week right here on BBS Radio, X Squared Radio. Good night, my friends.
It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio, saying, Peace, Earth Explorers.